this is Kate.
And I'm Corrine, and this is episode 7 of The Gayest Show on Birth. So all episodes of The Gayest Show on Birth are special. I mean, maybe we're biased, obviously, because it's literally about us.
But this week's episode is just a little more special for many reasons.
Hello, embryos.
But mostly because we have a sponsor and a sweet deal for you.
This episode of Gayest Show on Birth is sponsored by Episona, which are the makers of an advanced sperm quality test.
So when it comes to eggs, we know the amount isn't quite as important as the quality. The same goes for sperm. High sperm count isn't enough. You also need quality sperm.
Problems in sperm DNA can affect how the sperm works, which can then lead to poor embryo development. Episona makes it possible to test the quality of the sperm before you drop coin on IVF or other fertility treatments.
You just purchase an Episona test kit online, take it home, and do whatever that thing is that guys do. Ugh. Mail it to the lab in the same prepaid box it comes in, and you don't even have to go to the doctor. Plus, if you're like us and using a sperm donor, you can test your sperm before purchasing multiple vials.
And you can order the Episona test at www.episona.com. That's Episona.com. Or find the link on the resources page on our website, which is gayestshowonbirth.com.
And because we really love you, fans of the show get 10% off using coupon code BIRTH10 at checkout.
So awesome.
Yeah, like, it's really cool.
I mean, we've been talking so much about the quality of my eggs and like the age of my eggs and whatever. And like you never really, and then you think like, oh yeah, obviously they're not going to fertilize the egg with like a dud sperm. But this like can test how dud your sperm is before you even try, which is awesome.
Or yeah, it just like gives you a better overview, I think, of, you know, what you're working with.
It's like the PGS testing, but for guys.
Yeah. And like at home.
Right. And you don't, right. And like 10,000 times less invasive than an egg retrieval.
Exactly. And you don't have to be like, from what we've heard, apparently jack off rooms are like not the cutest, coolest thing unless you can do it at home.
Yeah. And then that can be cute.
Yeah.
I don't want
to. Or however your Corrine's getting like real like flustered. She's wearing a red hoodie and her face is like the same color.
I know. So anyway, this has been a huge week. But first, let's recap what happened last week on the show. The trigger shot. We talked about the trigger shot.
With a dance party.
With the dance party that looked like I was a lunatic because we did it in high speed on the Instagram. And I just look like I'm bouncing around to Sorry
Which
Not Sorry.
Which you do kind of. Is like how you dance.
I mean, normally. That was literally a representation of me dancing a little bit faster than normal.
Yeah. If you ever want to know what Corrine looks like at the club, that's it.
I mean, please bring it. And we also talked about me going through the retrieval situation. We got 21 eggs, and then I couldn't stop talking about how I love blackjack and 21 is lucky.
Yeah, and then like, I kept throwing out like, and 2 + 1 = 3, and 3 is my favorite number.
Right, and then we were just like, this is so dumb.
Yeah, you just got to make it.
You just got to
make it work.
Like, just stop talking about it. Like, when I'm like saying for the 10th time, like, blackjack.
Well, you do love blackjack.
I do. And let's see. Oh, the nurse at the clinic thought that Kate was my sister.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. And I apparently say inappropriate things when I'm under anesthesia.
Yeah.
Or coming out of anesthesia.
Yeah. Although your mom reminded us that I think we were just all delirious that that conversation didn't go quite as.
Oh, about the Michael Jackson thing?
Yeah. Like, I think I thought you said it, but she said it.
I know. Really, my mom is the one who has the amazing sense of humor. And we're just like piggybacking off of her.
Yeah. But you were like all about it. You were like, yeah.
I loved anesthesia. Like, I know that makes me sound like I have a drug problem, but like. It was the best sleep I've ever had. Like, and because it was so short and they don't put me under for so long or so deeply, like, I remember it. I had a dream.
Yeah.
Which I think is like, well,
it was,
not supposed
the recovery
to
was like nice because it was pretty fast since you weren't under for very long.
Right. But I have to say that like the recovery overall, like that day I felt fine. Like none of it was like painful or whatever. It was just like a very uncomfortable feeling week. Like I just felt like. I ate like 5 times too much every single day, like turkey dinner every day.
Yeah.
And then so today I finally feel like a little bit back to normal.
Well, good. Which is good because then we had like a huge brunch.
Right. So
to like help make up for the fact that you were like finally not feeling bloated. We were like, let's go eat all the food today.
I know. I was like, I feel so empty inside. Let's fix that. I don't know how to feel anymore unless it's full. It was worth it. That was delicious.
Well, one thing that I was super excited about, because in general, this is like always my jam. But as we mentioned, we were getting swag. And many of you have already seen that the swag is here. It came.
And it looks unbelievable. Like, shout out to Kate for making our logo and then making it look good in a button and sticker form.
Yeah. I was just like, they came out really nice. They were from Sticker Mule. So if you use Sticker Mule, awesome. If you want to sponsor this podcast, I know.
Then we can give everybody a coupon code for that too.
But yeah, I really, yeah, they're here. And so on both Facebook and Instagram, I've got a couple posts up there on how you can get your own swag.
Yes. Should we say how?
Yeah, basically if you just tag a couple friends on the post.
Like, the suspense was killing me.
It's so easy. Literally just go tag two people, especially people that like maybe don't know about our show, but you think would like it.
Yeah.
Like, well, a lot of people that listen to this like actually aren't necessarily actively trying to have kids or even going through IVF or are gay or queer or anything like us. They just think it's interesting.
So it's just our family members.
It's
who
just
are left.
Our moms.
Yeah. So you just narrowed it down to literally our family.
So aside from our moms, don't tag them.
Yeah. Well, and this contest is like a thousand times. Well, this thing to get sweat. It's not a. Everything
it's
is a contest.
It's not a contest. This is literally not a contest. It's like no limit. Just like go tag some folks and
like the picture. Don't you have to like the
picture? You can like the picture, follow us if you aren't already.
You can also just ask us and we'll send you swag,
but please tag two friends. tell all your friends.
I mean, this is way easier than the stupid contest I had that actually two friends actually went through with it, which means that they're better than all the rest of our friends.
Yeah, shout out to those friends. But yeah, and we had a few people who have already done this super easy tagging of people, and your swag is coming to you this week.
Yeah, you got their addresses. You're all set. Great.
I sent them DMs already. Slid into their DMs.
You slid into their DMs with self-promotion.
Yeah. Yeah, they seemed very excited about
it. How millennial
of
us.
I know. What are you going to do? Yeah. And we had, a fun mention this week. Some of our fans also hang out at Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure, which if you haven't listened to that, that is an amazing podcast. I love it. I listen to it. They're hilarious. But they have a really cool Facebook group that has like 3,000 people in it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's really cool. And a friend of ours is in the group and was like, hey, you just got a shout out.
Was it from Matt and Dory?
Like, no, where did like somebody talked about other fertility podcasts, this group or site called Eggology, and they were like, hey, our season one's ending, here's some other IVF podcasts we love. And then they were like, hey, are there any other ones that anybody likes? And one of our listeners gave us a shout out, and then a friend of ours who's in the group was like, oh my god, yes, I second that.
Wait, do we know who gave us a shout out? It's somebody that we don't know.
It's one of our, I don't know.
A listener.
Yeah, it's one of our listeners.
But not our moms.
No, not our moms. They are not in this group.
Not one of our friends. So it's somebody, yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to whoever that was. That's so rad.
Yeah. So
that you like us enough to then like.
Yeah, it was great.
Suggest us.
But then Eggology reached out to us too. And like, we've all become friends. And you should definitely check out her site. I'm going to add it to our resources page too. It's all about egg freezing.
Cool.
So yeah. So, yeah, we made a bunch of new friends this week.
Yeah, what
so
a nice
week. So, if
you
came
week.
Over from Eggology, welcome. Or Matt and Dory's, if you saw it on there, welcome.
Yeah, and if you came just from Facebook, welcome. If you came because you were tagged by two friends,
oh yeah, there's
welcome.
A few of those.
And
yeah.
You can get some swag. So, last week, we kind of, like, quickly went, I think because I was still under anesthesia, or maybe I was on drugs.
We were just, like, really pooped last week.
Yeah, like, we just totally blew through what the egg retrieval process is. I was just like, and then I went under, and then it was fabulous. I felt amazing. And then they got 21 eggs.
Right, and I was like, and then I was getting myself checked out. Like, we really just, we got a lot of questions after the fact.
I was like, what the hell happened?
How does that actually work?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously I'm asleep, but this is what they
do. And I wasn't allowed to be in there.
Right. Like, because it's like an actual.
You know, yeah. I would have been.
I know, but like, no thanks. It's like my private.
Well, I wouldn't have like shown that. I would have just
anyway,
shown
they,
the
what they do is they do an ultrasound.
Trigger warning.
If you vagina.
Vagina. Needles.
Yes. And like, if you're a little bit squeamish, maybe do the like 15-second fast forward. But what they do, so they put you to sleep, put you under anesthesia.
I really love that.
I love being put to sleep.
Out to the farm.
They do a vaginal ultrasound to like see where they're going. And then they pierce the vaginal wall, which is interesting because I was thinking, I don't know, when I had my fibroid surgery last year, everything obviously went into the uterus. Right. And so I was like, okay, so they're going to go like in through the cervix and like where everything that happens goes through the cervix. So I was like, I don't understand how it like curves around into your freaking ovaries, but like there are doctors, they can do it. And then when we looked it up, it's like, no, idiots. Like, why would they go in a big circle? They just pierce through your vaginal wall and then go directly to the ovary.
Yeah. It's like literally a straight line.
And then they go, and then I guess they have to do two because then they do it to the other
side.
Yeah,
so sometimes they have to do multiple pokes to get the right angle. Right. But essentially that needle
is a vacuum.
But wouldn't
it be another one for the second ovary?
Oh, yeah. No, there's one for the other side. But I mean, even on the same side, I think they have to poke multiple times. But essentially it's a hollow needle, a very small one, but it's a little vacuum. So once it's up in the ovary, it sucks up all of the follicle liquid.
Right. It's not, it's like they don't see that they're, you can never see the egg like
right,
on an ultrasound.
They're microscopic.
You just see the follicles. So they just like suck out everything that's in there.
Yep.
And then take it out, put it in a petri dish. And like within, you know, 20 minutes, I mean, I was already in recovery and he was like, you got 21 eggs. So they like figure it out really fast.
Yeah. He never said how many follicles I actually got. He just said how many eggs.
Right. We can count on the report that we have how many follicles they were looking at.
I don't know how many they actually ended up taking.
Oh, I see. And then that's how, because
I was just curious. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I guess it doesn't matter. Wouldn't it be 21? Or no, some
no,
can
no,
be
no,
empty.
No, because some follicles can be empty. Mm. In your case, it might have been 21 follicles and 21 eggs, but
yeah.
You can definitely
I
have...
wonder if they know, though, which ones were empty.
If they know how many follicles they got and they know how many eggs they got, then you can find the difference to know how many didn't have an egg.
I think all of them were lucky because it's blackjack.
Oh, God, back to the blackjack.
I know. I can't stop. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, so that happened really fast. And that was it. That was my egg retrieval process.
Yeah. I mean, it really was pretty fast. I think they had like 3 retrievals that morning, like back to back to back.
Yeah. So it was just like
keep it moving.
Like, right. Yeah. It was just like an assembly line of egg retrievals. So I guess that was my egg retrieval. I don't know what else to say about it. I mean,
how did you feel after?
I mean, afterwards I felt fine. Like, you know, oh, I know what I was going to say. It's because when they're sucking out all the liquid is when you can get what I was talking about last week, which is the OHSS, which is the ovary hyperstimulation syndrome, which is like when they release all the fluid. Or when they suck out all the fluid, then like more fluid can accumulate and then it can like leak into your abdomen. So it's like, that's why when you have a lot of follicles that they're messing with, then you can get that syndrome.
Yeah, it's one of those like, it's really great that you have that many follicles, but the more follicles they remove, the more bloating you end up having after.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a blessing and a curse. So
yeah.
I luckily didn't have any of those symptoms. I mean, at first I was like, oh, shoot, like, I don't feel good. Like, you know, what's going on? I did gain a little bit of weight, but it was like my normal burrito weight. It wasn't like anything.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and it's weird because it definitely was one of those things that, and they told us this, but I think we just like didn't really register it. But it's like it gets worse before it gets better thing. And like, I think like the first day or so you were like, this is totally fine, and then all of a sudden you were like, this is not fine anymore.
Tuesday I did not feel good, and like so Monday they were like, you know, be sure to walk around, like don't lift anything crazy, whatever. But just like, because you did have a surgery and you did have a procedure, like, don't go crazy, but you can like walk around. You don't have to be like on bed rest or anything. So I did. And I went, you know, we walked the dogs, whatever. And then Tuesday, I don't know what I did, but like I was carrying like my backpack because I had my computer in it, whatever. And I like tweaked my back and it like met. I don't know what happened. It was all downhill from there. And I think it was just like, I didn't even tweak my back. It was just like a symptom of the thing.
Yeah, I think
it was just,
I think because they did say like lower back pain because you end up having all the bloating in your abdomen.
Yeah. So it was not that great. And then Wednesday was fine. So, and then it just kept getting better.
And then your poor tummy felt hard. Like it did, it almost looked like you were carrying.
Yeah. Well, what's nice about
like you had a little baby for like 24 hours.
Probably still my burrito from the day before. But what is, nice about actually not being the person who's going to be carrying is that if sometimes they have to cancel like implantations and stuff like that. If the woman has OHSS, it can just like mess with everything. You have to wait till your hormone levels go back down and all this stuff. So I had the luxury of not having to worry about that. I was even able to take, they tell you not to take Advil for the first 24 hours, but then after that you can take it. And if I were going to have or carry the baby, they no Advil. I would only be able to take Tylenol.
Yeah.
So stuff like that.
Yeah, which wasn't like super helping you when you were taking it. But yeah, overall, I think you were like a super champ about it. I know you weren't feeling super great all week, but I know that your goal was to get feeling as good as possible because your favorite meal of the year is coming up.
Right. There was no way that I was still going to feel like crap by Thanksgiving. So I really tried to take it easy. I took one more day. I worked from home, and I've just been kind of trying to take it easy. And then today, finally, Saturday, I feel pretty 100%. Yeah. Every day I keep saying, like, I'm at 100%. And then I'm like, no, this is really 100% today. I finally did it. So then the day after the retrieval, the retrieval is considered day zero. Mm-hmm. So then on day one is when they fertilize the eggs, or they figure out how many from those 21 were mature. So in our case it was 17, and then they were able to fertilize 15 of them. So that was a pretty good number right off the bat.
Yeah. Wait, did you say that there were 17?
Yes.
Okay.
They fertilized 17.
Yeah. And 15 made it.
15 like actually were doing their thing.
Yep.
And then on day three, the clinic also gave us an update and they said that there were still 15.
Yeah, which we were surprised at because I know we talked about last week that there's typically like a fair amount of drop off between each of the milestones. And what you found out actually is that a lot of clinics don't even give you the day three update. They just make you wait until day five or six because the day three update between day one and three isn't as significant as the jump between day three and day five.
Right. In day three, they have maybe between 6 and 8 cells. And then by day 5, 6, they have like 170 cells. So like there's a lot of crap that goes on between day three and day 5 and 6. The thing about day three, though, is when they're not freezing them, they're not doing PGS. That is the day when they typically put it in.
Yeah, do the transfer.
If they're doing a fresh transfer,
yeah,
they usually do it on day three because some clinics determine that a mother, you know, the mother or the carrier's womb is probably a better place to like grow this baby than a petri dish. But because we're doing the PGS testing, they wait until day five anyway. That's like day six is the last day that you could possibly freeze the egg. That's how, or the embryo, that's how like long it can be out in the wild without like a purpose.
But it was funny because they, you know, again, since we're doing the PGS testing, the initial fee you pay includes 8 embryos to be tested. So when they called Corrine initially on Wednesday and said
Thursday
and said, hey, we got 15 still, you need to decide if you want to test all of them,
which would mean
past the 8, like if you end up with more than 8 embryos on days 5 and 6,
yeah, which ones do you want, what do you want to do? And they recommended that we test them all because I'm so old. That's not what they said, but I said it.
He like insinuated, but right, he's like, your eggs are a little older.
He was like, no, he was like, how old are you again? That's literally what happened. He's like, how old are you again? I was like 39. He's like, no, we recommend that you do it. I was like,
well,
okay,
it kind of makes
sir.
Sense. Like, if we're taking the steps to test them, like it would be silly to then leave like a few that we didn't test that we would have to then test later.
Right. Regardless, we're going to test them because.
And they could be normal ones and we wouldn't know. and we wouldn't be like using them because they were like sitting off in the corner.
Right. So we were just like, crying.
Actually, like put baby in the corner.
Right. These like non-tested eggs.
Yeah.
Or embryos. Yeah, just
made more. But then we were like, so it's $300
per
extra embryo.
Above
the eight. And Corinne was like, oh my gosh, if they all make it, that's like $2,000 more.
I know. Spend. I was like, okay, like obviously we're going to do it. But.
And like a good problem to have. Like,
right. Have an abundance of embryos, which is like, we're so lucky. But yeah, I was just like, oh God, another $2,000. Like they really know how to like stick you. And like, then.
Just get you at every turn.
So then they said that they were going to call back on day 5, which. They didn't. And
Saturday.
Which was Saturday. Yesterday. And then they called us back today, which is Sunday. Yep. And they said, what did they say? They said, oh, you have.
Oh, yeah. She seven? Was like, oh, we got 7 today. And we were like, wow, great. 7. Okay. 7. And then she was like, and then so that brings the total to 9. And we were like, wait, what? You said 7. And then we had to tell her that no one called us yesterday.
Yeah. So the phase where they can then freeze it and where they biopsy it, it's called a blastocyst.
Yeah. Blastocyst.
And blastocyst means it's reached day 5 and that's when there's 2 layers of the cells. So the inner layer, which becomes like the baby.
Right.
And then the outer layer, which comes the placenta, which is where they do the biopsy from.
Right.
And that happens between day 5 and 6. But sometimes some of them are a little lazy and like need one extra day. Like they miss their deadline and they're just like
hungover.
Right. I mean, knowing my embryos.
Yeah, they were 100% sure partying hungover on Saturday and like needed till Sunday to like get it together.
Right. And they're like, oh, we got an extension. And so, and it's good actually that they, and oh, and so in part of my 3 a.m. research, I found that the quality between day 5 and day 6 is the same. It's the same. So it doesn't matter if they freeze a day 5 or biopsy a day 6. It doesn't matter. So yesterday, if they would have called and they would have said 2, I would have been like, oh, crap.
Yeah, I think we would have been really, and I'm sure they would have said like, oh, we have like a handful here that are like looking like they're going to be good tomorrow. Like, I'm sure they would have said that.
Right.
But, you know, I think we would have been feeling kind of
bummed
more than feeling. But at the same time, you were like, couldn't stop thinking about the fact that they hadn't called
you. I've just been so anxious about it because then in my mind, I was like, the only reason they're not calling is because none have made it.
Yeah, Corinne was convinced when we woke up. So like I am a really pretty solid knocked out sleeper. Like I sleep through everything. And
I mean, you should see what I'm doing while you're sleeping. I'm like,
I now know
the planet like, with my Google research.
You're like saving our IVF cycle. But I wake up. And I could tell that she has like been up for a while. I see the glow of the phone.
Glow of my eyes.
And I was
eyes.
Like, oh, what are you doing? Like, what now? And she was like, they didn't call yesterday. I just know. Like, I had a dream. I've been doing my research. Like, none of them made it. And I was like, that just seems like impossible to me.
Yeah. And I mean, kind of. I mean, it kind of like 2 is like pretty far down from 15. So,
oh,
like,
no, but like to have like your zero. Feeling of like that none of them made it.
Yes. And so it's like because they wait and they didn't tell us till today, I'm like actually kind of thankful about it in retrospect. But isn't that crazy? We went from 21 eggs to now 9 embryos that are like going out to be tested. And then the percentage of that is around 37%. And so there is this like...
For your age.
For my age, exactly. So there's this like crazy calculation that is nuts. It's like divide or multiply by -486 and then add this.
It was like 4.08653 or
something. And this came from the person that we're working with at GLOW, who is like
our fertility coach.
Is our fertility coach and who has been like totally resourceful, like... helping so much. She's the one who sent us the ice trays that helped everything. And so she sent us this chart thing that was like a line graph and then the calculation and then the formula. And it was like really super interesting. She sent us the study that it came from. And it just says that it's like, it came out to like 37.8% for my, that will come back normal for my age. So that from the 9, that's around between 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't know. Like, before we started, we always said like, okay, we'll be great with five, or we'll be great. No, we said like between three and four, and like five would be amazing. And so now when we did this whole week and it was like 21 to 17 to 15, we're like, go, go, go to nine. I'm like, oh, I feel kind of bummed.
Yeah. I mean, I think starting so high, it did make it feel like we were going to end up with more. I mean, not beggars can't be choosers, but like, it does feel like, oh, we're kind of like where we thought we'd be, I guess. But everybody's saying still, like, this is really great. Your numbers are really great.
Yeah. And even the tech who call, or the scientist or whatever, the embryologist who called us today, was like, these are amazing, you know, like, because obviously we don't have fertility issues that we, you know, that we know of, other than my age, and that, you know, that we can't have a baby naturally, obviously. So like, she's probably not used to seeing high numbers like that, or yeah, is very excited when she sees high numbers like that, because obviously, yeah, those are like great numbers.
Yeah, or just like when it's for anybody, like, I mean, we've seen other folks numbers, you know, online or whatever, and I think that it's like our numbers are pretty solid, like, and again, like for the age of your eggs.
Right. So it's like, as we talked about at the top of the show, it's not about the obviously not about the quantity of the eggs, it's about the quality, just like the sperm. So, you know, now that we're kind of getting to the nitty gritty of it, like, we have 2 weeks now to wait to see how many of those nine are quote unquote normal that they can then, you know, work with. And then and then it starts, you know, to be Kate's turn.
Yeah.
To do stuff. But I just feel a little bit bummed about it. I don't know. Like, I thought we would just have more. And it's fine, and nine is great, and it's a lot, but I was just like, hope in my mind, I was picturing like all 15 are going to go off to be tested.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness for our bank account.
I know. Finally, the baby is, or the embryo is like finally like saving us a little bit of money.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, you don't need this many.
Right. All you need is like one good one, and we could probably find one good one out of those nine.
Yeah. I mean, the real bummer in this entire situation is we're clearly like not getting a TLC show now.
Right. Kate and, wait, what is it? Kareen and Kate plus 800?
Yeah, plus 15.
Plus 80.
It's like, well, I said it could be like Levy's litter.
God, that sounds horrible.
Well, if we had like 15.
They would be so terrible. Remember when our dogs were part of that litter of four and they were such a disaster?
As a pod of two, they're a disaster.
I know, even by themselves.
You guys should see what our living room looks like. Like, we're totally prepared to have children because there's already toys all over our house.
Toys, and then we know a lot about bribery because the minute the dogs start barking, we like hand them this treat.
Be quiet.
It's like a treat that like lasts a long time. It's not just like, here's a cookie for barking. It's like this, we call it the quiet treat.
Oh, yeah, we've talked many times.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, bribery, that's the thing that people do with their kids.
Yeah, so far it's working. Yeah, they did just get a whole bunch of new toys. I went on a little toy spree and bought all these weird toys, and now they're all over the floor.
Yeah, so thanks for that.
It's okay, you can pick them. Your favorite thing to do is to come home and pick them.
Yes, exactly. That's all what I want to do when I come home for work, is just like walk around and picking up dog toys.
They like to take them all back out immediately.
So yeah, so anyway, that's been our week.
Yeah,
and next we have to just wait 2 more weeks. We go back on the 30th for my follow-up appointment and for Kate's like getting ready to start appointment. And that's also when we find the results of the PGS testing.
It's my lining check.
Your lining check. So in between now and next week, we really don't have much to do.
Well, we have luckily we don't have a lot to do IVF wise.
Right. No, obviously that's what this podcast is about. Yeah. I'm not talking about like our life agenda that we have, our daily tasks.
Well, we do have a lot of things to do.
Well, but right. Yeah. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So, well, one thing that I've really been focused on, like the last, I guess, month before we kind of started the podcast and started our cycle, was getting myself prepped as much as I could and like kind of trying to get my health in focus. And, you know, again, like whatever we can do, like this is a process we have zero control over, and that costs a lot of money. So it was, you know, I was like, okay, well, what can we do to like help make this, you know, better or smoother? Like acupuncture was one of the things. For me, I made some diet changes. It was also just like for myself, but because I wanted to know, you know, like, would this also help with the baby process? And just overall, from things I've read online or talking to other folks, like, in general, like, keeping your inflammation down is really important, especially for the transfer.
So were you doing that with your diet, or is that like the acupuncture that you're doing?
Combo. Like, the acupuncture is a way that we were both working on keeping inflammation down, and I'm continuing to do the acupuncture for that reason. But then also just internally, you know, changing my diet to help reduce inflammation. So I've cut out gluten and dairy, which I also have IBS, which I've had my whole life. But IBS is definitely the, like, we don't know what's wrong with you.
Right.
Like, diagnosis.
But then I think what, like, the, because before you did this whole diet thing, you were like, cut out meat because you thought that was the issue.
I've been pescatarian for about 5 years because it was like, anytime I was eating something that had meat in it, it tend to like offset my symptoms, or not offset, but like kick them off. So
set off.
Yeah. Thanks. Set off my symptoms. So I've just been kind of keeping that, you know, going. But I just, like, after reading more about gluten intolerance and dairy intolerance, I was like, these symptoms sound like very much
I was
the
like
same.
Reading the checklist, and I'm like, fatigue, yes. Tummy ache, yes. Like, bloated, yeah, like, yes.
Yeah. It was like every symptom, I was like, oh, these are the same. And then part of it was like, it was Yom Kippur, and we carbo loaded for Yom Kippur. And, like, had this huge bowl of spaghetti. Like, we weren't going to eat again. It was, like, literally only a day.
Well, 24 hours is a really long time.
Okay. You're right. I mean, it is a long fast. But it wasn't, like, going to be, like, a month. And we had this huge bowl of pasta. And I was, like, and homemade and, like, sauce and everything. And I was so sick.
Yeah. And then the few days. When did you start that diet that started with, like, when you couldn't eat anything?
Yeah, I did kind of, like, a cleanse.
But was that after Yom Kippur?
That was after. Yeah.
It was, like, the Sunday after Yom Kippur. So
it was, like, the first, or, like, October, beginning of October.
So I don't remember when Yom Kippur was, but breaking the fast was your, like, let's see, when was Yom Kippur, and then when did you start? Well, I guess it doesn't matter, but, like, breaking the fast was, like, your, that was, like, in September. So.
Yeah, it was, like, the end of September, and then I started that on October 9th.
Okay, so that was, like, your big last, like, hurrah. Like, then you were starting to wind down.
Yeah.
Because then a few weeks later, you were going to, like, you started buying all the food, and you were making those smoothies.
And you were like, oh, my God, what am I going to eat?
Yeah, I
got rid of everything.
I bought 3 frozen pizzas and was like, I'm secure.
Yeah, it was like a 3-week period. Yeah, you were like, I'm just going to eat at my mom's house every day and I'm going to eat frozen pizzas.
But then it ended up that the stuff that you were making, like all that gluten-free crap was like actually, I mean, obviously gluten-free and I'm a pretty healthy eater. Like it was fine. But like you made some stuff that was really good. It was just so freaking time consuming. Like every time I looked at you, you were like emptying
cooking.
The dishwasher or
I know.
Cooking.
It's just a lot of cooking.
Which is like good for you.
Yeah, it's good. And I like, and it was this, the cleanse I did was also great because I'm not a big caffeine drinker at all. I don't drink coffee. I have tea, but not necessarily every day. And, you know, we drink, but we're not huge drinkers. And so this cleanse was like no caffeine, no alcohol, essentially plant-based. And so it was kind of a good like easing into, you know, pregnancy. Anyway,
except for that it was 3 weeks and that was like a month ago. And now you've like bounced back a little bit.
So, but like not a lot.
I think like the good part about the cleanse or whatever is that like then we discovered that like coconut water is or this almond milk
yeah,
is good
exactly.
And like better than milk. And then that like that sauce that you make is like awesome.
Oh, the cashew sauce. That's
instead
from Love and Lemons.
So yes.
If you don't have the Love and Lemons cookbook.
It's like basically an Alfredo
God, it's so
sauce.
Good.
It's delicious.
Yeah, it's. So that's like one of my favorites. And then if you like put it in the fridge and it like kind of sets up a little bit, it's like hummus basically.
Yeah, it's like a dip. And so you can dip all your gluten-free crackers in it. So there are stuff that like came out of this diet and this cleanse that and like the smoothies that you made.
Oh,
so
yeah.
there are things that you've like incorporated
yeah,
into your life.
Kept, like, yeah.
But
and
then the best part
to, like reset and like not be ordering sushi.
Right. I mean, we still do that sometimes as a, like a
it's like our Wednesday survivor.
Sushi Wednesday.
Yeah.
But what is good about this is that you can maybe now start incorporating meat if you want. Like if it's in something, you're not like, oh, shoot, I have to like take extra care. I'm going to be sick. Like it's not the meat necessarily. It's the grease.
Yeah, but it's really, yeah, it's the oil. Like that's the other thing that I've found like something that really sets off my symptoms is like if it's like a really oily, greasy thing. Like I even made some like noodles that just had kind of like a sesame oil dressing, but it was like a pretty oil forward dressing and it made me so sick.
Yeah. So, and then yesterday we went to this like really interesting panel about food and politics and based on a book called Feed the Resistance by Julia Tertian, who's a really cool chef. And so we went to a panel and then afterwards they made food and there were tamales and Kate like had a tamale and it was gluten free and she felt fine.
Yeah.
And it was chicken.
Yeah. And there, it was no dairy and it was like gluten-free and it was so good and I wasn't sick.
So like, hallelujah, you can now eat some meat.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think then, we're going like, to stick to it.
Also, it was a little bit, yeah, I mean, diet. It really like, I mean, it did like, we had a family dinner for my dad's birthday on Friday and it's like, we always do like pizza party, like super Italian American. And I was like, oh, definitely like, no, like also we had pizza, like, right before I did that cleanse and I was like sick for like 2 days.
I mean, pizza is like the combination of all the things that make you sick: gluten, grease, and cheese.
Yeah. And it's like the, like, obviously all of those things are the most delicious, best things ever. Right.
So then you had to bring your soup.
BYOS. I brought my own soup and everybody was like, why do you have that soup? So then I had to like talk about it. It was,
and then you
like,
were like chowing down on that soup. Like it was like the, like your last meal.
But it was so good.
Right.
I was like really glad to have it and it was cold and it was like a cold outside and so I was like, oh, the soup is so good. But
so now you're that person who like cuts up vegetables and like brings them in a Tupperware wherever you go.
Literally had a Tupperware of soup and my grandma was like, what is this soup? It's a few people have mentioned that to me though, that they really focused on, you know, reducing their inflammation through diet also leading up to transfer or just even getting pregnant. Your friend Emily told me to eat a lot of oysters.
Which I think we should be doing all the time.
I think
the no gluten is fine, but why don't we go get some oysters?
Yeah. Well, we should.
We should get them anyway.
We have a couple weeks. Last hurrah. But yeah, I'd love to hear whatever other, like, if you have any other dietary things that you feel like worked for you.
I mean, I think the oysters was a fluke. I think she just like happened to be eating a lot of oysters.
I don't think she's
like a remedy for anything.
No, I know, but I love like even if it's like an old wives' tale, like what worked for you, like what?
No, like I did a handstand after I had sex, like, I got pregnant.
Can't do a handstand. So
well,
like,
and that's like we're already past the point of like having sex and doing a handstand.
Anti-gravity chair. You know those chairs that like you can like tip all the way upside down.
Then you have twins because it's like works too well.
Ooh, I'm gonna go get one of those chairs.
My old wives' tale.
I'm gonna go get that chair this weekend.
I mean, so far my favorite thing that has gotten or has helped somebody get pregnant or has just like existed at the same. I mean, correlation does not equal causation, but has been the oysters thing. Like I can get behind some oysters.
Yeah, but just because you want the oysters,
obviously.
Yeah. So let us know what are the things we need to be doing. Like especially if it was like IVF related, like what helped you kind of prep for your transfer? We've got a couple weeks here.
Yeah, I think like now that we're down to this part of it, I'm like looking back on like what we were doing to prepare for this thing. And I feel like there's probably a lot more stuff that I could have done. Obviously, it's too late and it doesn't matter. But I just feel like, I don't know, like I could have like done acupuncture since June and I could have like stopped drinking for like 3 months. Like who knows? Nobody knows what what alcohol or what bad food or whatever, what kind of effect that has on egg quality. But like now that we're down to these 9 embryos and it's like, oh, I mean, obviously that's a good number, but was there more that I could have done to get to 10? Did I not do my trigger shot at the right time?
You did the trigger shot at just the right time.
So I think that they're, it's hindsight and I'm just like anxious about everything. So I'm just thinking about all the things that I could have done. So in conclusion, I'll just go eat some more oysters. And that's all I need to do.
Sounds good. Well, I think on that, we are going to... please send us your questions.
Yes. Oh, right. Duh.
That's
we're
what
like,
I was gonna say.
We're like, please send us questions.
Please tell us about the oysters you ate. But yeah, any questions you have? We've been getting a lot of great questions, but... or share your experiences, like if you've gone through something similar or IVF, period.
Yeah, let us know if we could read it on the show. I'm sure other people have questions. You know, when we started doing this show, we were like, this is going to be great. Like, we'll just talk about it once. All of our friends and family will listen to it. And then we won't have to answer any more questions. And I swear to God, like, everybody's like, so, like, is Kate pregnant? And I'm like, no. Because they, like, they retrieve the eggs and they're like, is she pregnant? And it's like, no, that's not what's happening. Have you listened to episode 4? Okay. Oh, is Kate, so now is she pregnant? No. Did you listen to episode 6? It's like, God, you guys. So, I mean, maybe I should just, like, take notes of what everybody is asking. And it's mostly about, like, the process. Like, what happens now, which is now we wait 2 weeks. You know, what happened then? Now we wait 3 days. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah, we need to line up some more activities over the next couple weeks.
Why?
To, like, kill time before the 30th.
Oh, because...
And I was saying that it was actually nice. Like, today, like, we ended up having kind of, like, a date day today. And it was so nice because I looked over at Corinne and I was like, you know, we are entering the phase of our lives that hopefully soon, like, we are not going to just be the two of us and have the luxury to just, like, go to San Francisco for the day and, like,
right, and have my mom, like, ask my mom if she could let the dogs out.
Right. I mean, I'm sure she's going to be really happy anytime we leave the baby over there. But at the same time, it was, like, just nice to be like, oh,
this is our life.
Do whatever we wanted today. Like, walked along. The weather was, like, so gorgeous. And totally. Just, like, and I was, but poor Corinne was just like, they hadn't called yet. And I was like, what? We were walking along the water and, like, at Chrissy Field and, like, looking at the Golden Gate Bridge. And Corinne is just like, I can tell she's thinking is like, embryo, 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 embryo.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I can think about.
Just try to, like, stop thinking about it and, like, be in this moment with me right
now.
I'm
still thinking about it. Like, they already called and now we have 2 weeks to wait. And, like, I'm not as anxious as I was between thinking that we had 0 and we had 9, but I don't know. I'm still a little bit anxious about what the results are going to be, even though I know now that it's going to be about between 30 and 40%.
Well, I'm just going to, like, have to play a lot of, like, Frozen Let It Go.
That will not help at all. Nope. Just the chorus. Think of something else. Go back to the oysters. No.
Oysters and Let It Go.
Nope. Let's just do the oysters. No, Let It Go. I can't listen to that song anymore.
I'm going
to,
like, just have it queued up for you and sneak it. Oh, God.
It's going to make it worse.
Yes.
So, in that note, please email us at gayashowonbirth@gmail.com. You can please leave us a rating or a review on iTunes, and we're also on Stitcher.
And you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at gayashowonbirth. And remember to hit up those posts so you can get your swag. It's very cute.
That's true. You can also tweet to us, which is @showonbirth on Twitter. And I guess see you next week.
Yeah. Bye.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right.